Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
What's up, what's up, what's up? Welcome to Marriage and More with your hosts,
Sterling
and Soretta Smith, where we talk about love, life, marriage.
And a whole lot more.
And a whole lot more. And I'm telling you, we have an exciting show for you on today. But before we get into the show, thank you for tuning in to Marriage and More with Sterling and Soretta. Please download the Bashani Radio app so that you can listen anywhere at any time. You can catch the replays and previous shows, or you can go to Bashani Radio and listen right there online at Bashani Radio. And of course, you can listen to the show on all of your other apps where you can catch podcasts. So what's going on, Mr. Smith?
Not too much.
So Valentine's Day.
Yeah, Lover's Day.
Lover's Day was Monday. We had a really good day, relaxed day, because I got my Valentine's Day gift early, and so I didn't want very much. Just wanted to see my grandbaby.
Yes, she wanted to see the grandbaby.
Yeah.
And she got to see her.
Oh, my God. She is so sweet. There is nothing like being a grandparent. I'm new at it, but I mean, she is just a sweet baby. I mean, really, the only time she fusses is when she's hungry. You can't get that bottle fast enough, and she will get cranked up.
Oh, yes, she will. Yeah, she'll let you know.
And when she's wet, when she wants a diaper change, and even when she gets sleepy, you know, she fights sleep, but she's not like, you know, crying and just unstoppable crying. And she usually goes off to sleep really quickly. So, yeah, got a chance to see grandbaby. So that was all I wanted. And we had a really nice dinner for Valentine's Day. We tried out a new upscale restaurant.
Yes, upscale restaurante.
Food was really good. Seasoned very well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, really, really enjoyed it. So happy belated Valentine's Day to everybody. Hope you had a great day. And remember that, you know, the greatest gift that you can give is that unconditional love. And I love to quote that, you know, no greater love does a man have than to lay down his life for his friend. And we know that Jesus Christ is the greatest love of all, because he sacrificed his life so that we all might have the right to eternal life. So, we got a great show today. We're going to be talking about in-laws versus outlaws. In-laws versus outlaws. This is going to be real good.
Yes.
Yeah, it's going to
be very interesting.
Very interesting. But before we get in the show, we always have to give our disclaimer that we are not licensed therapists.
No, we're not.
Or clinicians.
Yep.
We're just two people that fell in love, dated for a couple years, got married, been married almost 30 years, pushing 30 years. And, you know, want to just share. We believe that God has called us to this marriage ministry to be transparent and open and to share so that people will know, you know, you may not be the only one that's being challenged or going through difficult times. They used to sing this song, Trouble Don't Last Always. And just to give some insight about some of the things that we've been challenged with and how we made it through and how we survived to have what we believe is a happy, successful
marriage. Yes.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about these in-laws.
Or outlaws.
Outlaws. Do you have in-laws or do you have outlaws? So having in-laws issues, let's talk about it. You know, it's really challenging when you're trying to merge families together. You know, I have always prayed for my kids, for my sons, that was always one of my prayers when they were little, is that God would send them wives that have like values, similar values, that they would come from families who were very family oriented, who valued family, that family was important, because it can be a little bit easier to mesh when you have like values and similar values. And when you have family, you know, when you mesh with a family that's family oriented, it's not foreign to them.
Yes.
Because a lot of times, you know, we've talked about this in some of our earlier shows. If you marry someone that comes from a broken family, you call it a dysfunctional family.
Yes.
Where there was abuse or
chaos,
whether it's drug abuse, sexual abuse, domestic violence, chaos, where they don't know what love is. They're not used to being loved or receiving love. And to step into a family where that's, you know, the exact opposite, you know, to them, love and peace and quiet and harmony is like,
they can't function.
They think that's dysfunctional.
The only way they can function is in that chaos.
It's in the chaos, right. They think that's dysfunctional. So I wanted to do this show about in-laws and, because I have heard a lot of horror stories. I've had some experiences as well, but nothing compared to some of the stories that I hear from colleagues or girlfriends. And so I wanted to do this show in case we have some people out there that are struggling with their in-laws or having issues with their in-laws. And, you know, the number one complaint that I hear the most is women who have trouble getting along with their mother-in-laws.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, their mother-in-laws. And so, you know, if you get along with your mother-in-law, you are considered a part of the lucky minority. When I was researching this, the Cambridge University psychologist Terry Apter says that 3 out of 4 couples experience significant conflict with their in-laws, particularly with the mother-in-law. That mother-in-law, daughter-in-law relationship seems to be the trickiest of all of the relationships with the in-laws. Now, I thank God your mom was wonderful. I never had any issues with your mom or your grandma because your mom and your grandma lived together. But Sterling's mom was like, she kept it real. Like, Miss Ethel kept it real. She would tell him off for not doing something for me. She would always speak up and take up for me and tell him off. I remember one time she was like, does he put gas in your car? And I was like, no, ma'am. And boy, did she give him a lashing about, I raised you better than that.
I remember
his mom. So I, you know, I was blessed that I got along with Miss Ethel and she was sweet. You know, she just kept it real. You know, I respected her. I respected the rules of her house. She didn't play around, but she was the sweetest, kindest lady, and G-Mom was the same. So I can't say that I personally had a bad relationship with my mother-in-law because I didn't, but I do have friends who are struggling with this, have struggled with this, are dealing with this. And so it says that about 60% of women versus 15% of men report having a negative relationship with their significant other's mom. Some of the descriptors that daughter-in-laws that are in these relationships use to describe the relationship is strained, uncomfortable, infuriating, depressing, draining, and simply awful. So you can see here, like, that dynamic can create a lot of problems. Do you have any friends, like any of your male friends that have expressed having difficulty with their mother-in-laws, not having really good relationships with their mother-in-laws, or does it just seem like, or
it's, it just seems like it's just
a women,
a ladies thing or a woman's thing? Because, you know, men, we're sort of different. Like, we really don't get hooked on, like, hey, if you like me or dislike me, we're like, okay, oh, well, you do you, I'm gonna do me, and we keep it moving.
Yeah. Well, the most typical complaint daughter-in-laws have of their mother-in-laws is that they're overbearing. Daughter-in-laws complain about their mother-in-laws being pushy and disrespectful of boundaries. Some other reasons for the unpleasant relationship between parent-in-laws and a daughter-in-law or a son-in-law for that matter. Pressure to have children. The number one source of tension between a woman and her in-laws is to have children. Now, I know I wanted a grandbaby really bad. And I would throw hints and jokes out there. But I have heard the horror stories of like in-laws that like just put so much pressure and stress on that daughter-in-law. When are you going to have a baby? It's time for you to have a baby. You know, you should forget about a career. You need to have a baby. I want a grandbaby. I think that's a bit much.
Yes, that is very much a bit much. And I think it might have something to deal with the, the generational thing with, they were probably brought up where they were supposed to always be in the house versus now the younger generation. We are more outgoing.
Well, the roles of women have changed over the years. More women are in the marketplace. They have careers. They're moms and they're, managers, momagers, as they call them. So the dynamics and the roles of women have changed. Other relatives trying to maintain their authoritative role in the house is another problem or dynamic that you can see in the daughter-in-law, mother-in-law, or son-in-law, for that matter, relationship where, maybe the dad wants to still, he can't let go of daddy's little girl and he's domineering. Or overbearing, and still wanting to like control the daughter's life instead of letting go. And it's kind of the same with sons and moms too. Yes. Yeah, it's sometimes it's hard for mothers, and I have three sons, so I can relate to this. It's hard to let go of them. Cause you know what, Sterling, my hope, cause I know like I'm not going to be here forever. And I what I want more than anything is to know that my sons have met someone. Like, nobody's going to love. As a parent, I don't think anybody will ever love your child the same way. It's a different kind of love.
Yes, it's a different
Yeah, and so, my hope and my prayer is that my sons find women that, when I am gone from this earth, I will be at peace knowing that they're being loved, that there's someone that loves them, that this person's family
have a similar value system as yours.
Yeah, loves them. And so I think that's all like most parents, most moms want for their sons is to make sure that
parents want that.
That they're being loved. Yeah. A know-it-all or take-it-charge mother-in-law. Can be a problem.
Yes, because they can't tell you how to live your life. That's just dot point, period.
Yeah.
But that's a problem.
Yeah. A parent's belief that no one is good enough for their son or daughter, that can create, that's oftentimes a problem because that father believes that nobody's good enough for his daughter. And so that type of mentality, personality clashes. We did a show talking about the temperaments. And so, yeah, understanding how that even affects relationships with in-laws. Money lending.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Don't
do
don't
that.
Borrow money. Don't borrow money from your in-laws.
Please don't okay? do that. Oh.
And don't loan them money, okay? And it's sad, but to even suggest that because we're supposed to be there for family, but these are real life scenarios that create problems and tension and can cause, problems in relationships that can even lead to divorce. Pressure to conform to religious or cultural norms.
Yes.
And that's why I think counseling before marriage is so important. I believe in marital counseling. I believe in the scripture though. The Bible says don't be unequally yoked. And I think that a lot of people end up in these types of situations sometimes because they marry someone that they're unequally yoked with, especially when it comes to this conforming to religious and cultural norms. Because if you're a Christian and you end up marrying somebody that's from a non-Christian belief, And then now a child is introduced, you know, then
you're going to have problems.
Yeah, because one family is going to want the child to be raised with Christian values, and
the other family is just to raise the child anyway, by any means necessary.
Well, no, if they have a different religion.
If they have a different religion, they're going to want them to be that religion.
Right. So you're going to have two families that are constantly bickering and fussing and arguing over what religion the child is going to be raised in. And then, you know, people get into marriage and they don't think about those types of things when they marry unyoked. You know, they just know I'm in love. I love this person. So it's important to just not, you know, look at the love piece of it, but you've got to look at the values of that, the totality, yeah, of the values of that person's life, to include their religion, because it can put pressure to conform. That family can put pressure on that daughter, or that family can put pressure on that son-in-law to conform to whatever their religious beliefs are. Then you can have a parent trying to drive a wedge into a marital relationship. And so, you know, there's all kinds of dynamics. So, but regardless of what the friction is, daughter-in-laws report long-term stress as a consequence. Couples, particularly the daughter-in-law, start to dread family gatherings for the distress and exchanges they can invite. And so, you know, now I'm on park right there. I got park right there. So,
parking spot.
Okay. All right. So Sterling has a large family. And you know, there's some different dynamics. I get along great with some of your family, and then there's some of your family, like from the very beginning, they've always had an issue with me. Like,
messy.
Yeah, they've always had an issue with me. They for whatever the reason, they've never liked me. And so, but some of Sterling's brothers and sisters I get along very well with. And then some of his brothers and sisters, I don't have anything against them, but for whatever the reason. And so I don't like attending family functions because I don't like being uncomfortable. And I don't think that I should have to go somewhere where I already know I'm going to be, it's going to be uncomfortable for me.
Yes. I mean, like I said, just a couple of seconds ago, they're very messy and they know what they're doing. They know exactly what they're doing.
So that can be a problem. And sometimes I feel bad because, you know, we miss out on things, or you miss out on spending time with your family or being invited or going to these functions. And sometimes we just don't get an invitation, but you know, it makes me feel sad because that's your family. And I don't want you to miss out. And it makes me feel sad because my kids have missed out on so much. Like, my family's tight-knit. Like, my family has accepted you. I don't think there's anybody in my family that's ever had an issue with you. We have family gatherings. We always have a good time. We always have a great time. And there's never been an issue. And so it has bothered me for many, many years. And so I finally got to a place where I was just like, you know what? I know that I haven't done anything. I've tried, you know, everything from gift giving to
you did everything.
Gift giving to being nice to, you know, so you have to get to the point where you say, you know what?
Assimilation can only go so far. You can only assimilate so far with people. If they're not willing to accept you for who you are, sometimes you just got to just cut ties with them.
Yeah. And I've had to learn to say, it's not my issue, right? It's their issue. So if you're listening, like, and you're saying, you know what, that's me. You know, I've never done anything to my in-laws. But for just some reason, they just don't like me. You know,
at one point, enough is enough.
And you have to say it's their issue. It's not your issue. And especially if you've tried to have a conversation and, you know, figure out like, what is it, what's going on? And to be perfectly honestly with you, you know, a lot of times it could be jealousy and envy of your relationship versus their relationship. Because keep in mind, we don't really know what goes on behind closed doors. You know, people present, most of the times, you know, people present one image when they're outside the house, and there may be something completely different going on inside the house. And the reality may be that people know the reality of their situation, and they may look upon your marriage and your situation, and there may be some jealousy and envy that's going on there. So it's not your issue, it's their issue. And the best way to deal with that, you know, my grandmother used to say, you know, be their friends from a distance. A long handle was a long handle, silver spoon,
something like that.
Yeah. That old wives' tale, or that old comment that they used to say. And so, yeah.
Really, I think it's just pitted in jealousy.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's, you know, it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate because, you know, especially if it's the mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, which, again, I never experienced. But I remember working with a lady on my job, and the issue, you know, she had a problem with the daughter-in-law. And the daughter-in-law, now sometimes, ladies, you can be the problem too, because the daughter-in-law was actually jealous of the relationship between this lady that I worked with and her son. Now, I've seen situations where sons, you know, marry women. And if a son has a really close relationship with his mother, then the wife sometimes, you know, is intimidated by that and has a problem with that. Therein again, there's something going on with that wife, you know, in her life. You have to look at insecurity. Like, did she have a good relationship with her mother? Because maybe she didn't have a good relationship with her mother. 9 times out of 10, that's the issue. She didn't have a good relationship maybe with her mother or with her parents.
Yes, with her parents.
Or maybe her mom abandoned her. Or maybe the
dynamic.
Maybe the mother. Yeah, mother passed away early. But I've seen and I've heard of situations where the wife, you know, is jealous of the relationship between the mom and the son. And so I remember this lady, and she would sit in her office and cry because she missed out on a lot of her grandkids' life.
Yes, you understand
what I'm saying? Because that was a way for the daughter-in-law
to get back at her,
to hurt her.
With the grand.
And so listen, you know what?
Don't go down that road. That's foul.
That's foul. Life is so short, man. Be thankful that you have a family or a mother-in-law that's loving and kind. You know, my grandma was off the chain. My grandmother would come and she would rearrange the towels and rearrange the pots in the cabinet and just kind of take over. But she had this strong personality, and so my mom was just kind of just very graceful and just like, just let her just do
just
it.
Just let her have her thing.
Just, you
if
know.
That's her thing, let her do that.
Yeah. But I've seen those situations, even where, you know, a daughter-in-law will tell the mother-in-law, you know, well, when I have my baby, you know, you're never going to see my baby. That's why they have what they call grandparents' rights now. You have grandparents that have to go to court.
Hopefully. I don't know. That sounds crazy.
Oh,
but
my goodness.
I can see it.
In-laws versus outlaws, I'm telling you. And so
those are definitely outlaws.
That's that, you know, so there's so many different dynamics. And I guess, you know, for those women that marry and they marry a man that may have a close relationship with his mom, you know, embrace that. I'm sure that, you know, she's going to love you just as much as she loves her son, and embrace that love, and don't do anything to try to come between that relationship. Don't withhold her seeing grandkids from her. And, you know, as moms, and I'm speaking as a mom that has a son, and I know for Sterling and I, we would rotate. Like, we would spend Christmas with my family this year.
Yes, we would share the holidays.
And Thanksgiving with yours. And then maybe the next year, like we would go to Tampa like every Christmas. We would leave the day after Christmas every year, or we would do Thanksgiving with my family. So listen, wives, you know, you have to be flexible. You can't expect or you shouldn't demand like that your spouse
something is always done a certain way.
Spend only time with just your family and vice versa to the husband. You shouldn't demand that, you know, all the holidays and time is just spent with your family. The two become one.
Yes.
Even the family. So like
you got to figure it out. You have to figure it out.
Like in October, we're going to Disney World with our son, his partner, her mom.
A whole bunch of family.
And her partner, her dad. So it's like
an extended.
It's like all the families were coming together. Yes. And we're going to Disney World because we have one thing in common, and that's that grandbaby.
Yes.
And so we're going to do whatever it takes to make sure that everybody has an opportunity to be a part of her life and to experience all the firsts that are going to happen. And I'm just so thankful that, you know, he found somebody who's family oriented.
Yes, he's very family oriented.
And whose family
is family oriented.
Is family oriented. So don't do that. Don't be that daughter in love, as I like to say, and don't be that mother in love. Mother in love understand that you got to share.
It's an understanding thing. You have to realize that it's two people coming together and you're not giving your son or your daughter away. It's just them experience love.
You're getting a daughter you're getting a son.
You're gaining something.
Yeah, you're gaining a daughter or you're gaining a son.
If you look at it from that perspective, you'll thrive.
Yeah, and you have to give them time to
give them their space.
Yeah, their space to build on their relationship
and let them grow as a couple together. You can't navigate it or dictate them to be like you.
Absolutely. You know, and just be there, like be there and be an example.
Because they're going to ask you questions.
Yeah. Be an example. And you don't want them to feel like they can't come to you.
Yes.
Like, you know, like, oh, my God, I can't, you know, they can't come to you when they are having problems or they are in a crisis. And so it's really, really important to give them their space and not be, you know, that overbearing, you know, just difficult mother-in-law, because it can escalate very quickly. It can become toxic.
Yes.
If it isn't taken by the horns adequately and quickly.
Answer their questions with an open heart. Don't start your response off with, I told you so. Don't, because that's right there is driving that wedge.
Yeah. So, how should you respond? What's a couple to do? How are you responding? You know, every situation is unique. There's no article, there's no book that's going to give the exact recipe that's needed to repair the relationships. But there's hope, and I've seen, you know, families. It may take counseling. It may take therapy. Family counseling, you know, family therapy. But, you know, when a spouse has a problem with a parent-in-law, it's the couple's problem. So
yes, it is.
There's no dealing with the situation solo, whether or not they agree on all aspects of the situations. Couples have to become a united front. Why, if you can't leave your husband out there for your dad to bully and terrorize, and husbands, you can't leave your wives out there for your mom
to
bully and terrorize. You got to become a united front. And so this begins with having effective conversations about difficult, sensitive issues. You got to talk to your spouse. If you're the one that's feeling under attack, then you got to make your partner aware of what's going on. And because he or she may be completely clueless about the situation and how it is making you feel. So the first step to getting on top of the issue is to provide your spouse with the understanding of the problem. Focus on your feelings, owning them, you know, with I statements. I feel hurt when your mother
does this.
Right. And, you know, it while it's tough, try to avoid being critical of your in-laws. Criticism, you know, a lot of times it will evoke a protective response instead of empathy. Understand that if it's their son or if it's their daughter, you know, what they must be going through having to release this, you know, their child to you, to this person. And out, it's enough to release them into the world, but they've got to release them to this person. You know what I'm saying?
They knew this day was coming, though.
I know, but it still doesn't, you know,
any better, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Have some empathy. Understand, this is your spouse's mother, somebody they love, somebody that they think fondly of, and you're trying to get his or her support. So you want to approach it as you would want to be approached if your spouse had a problem with your parents. All right. What else is something you can think of, Sterling?
Show compassion. You have to understand, well, what's taking place.
Yeah.
It's like a rites of passage, I guess, to you and to them, of releasing and receiving and just being able to deal with it.
That's a good point. I like that, what you said about a rites of passage. You know what? I think something that you have to do early on is establish those healthy boundaries.
Yes, boundaries.
Yeah, you got to agree on the boundaries that you're going to establish. You both have to agree on them together. And so healthy boundaries got to be a part of your talks on strategy and what's communicated to your in-laws. Discuss, you know, your need for boundaries, come to an agreement on what those boundaries are.
And stay with them.
Yeah, regarding your in-laws.
And nip it in the bud early.
You got to have
the faster you do it and catch it and deal with it, the easier it is for them to realize that, hey, that you're not going to tolerate that duplicitous nature that they're trying to do or drive a wedge in your marriage.
Yeah. You got to have some clearly defined limits and rules of engagement as far as what you'll expect and accept. And then you got to have your spouse convey those
immediately
to his or her parents.
Immediately.
And staying empowered at any point of the process, you got to remember that consciously or not, you set boundaries in all your relationships. These keep you sane and friendlier. I like to say it all the time. I'm going to teach people how to treat me. And basically in saying that, what I'm saying is I'm going to set boundaries so people will know what my expectations are, what they can and cannot do.
And
you know what I'm saying?
Within those perimeters.
Yeah. And so, you know, making sure also that when you're addressing these issues that your spouse lead the contact. So if I'm having, you know, if I was having a problem with your mom, then you would need to lead that
conversation.
Yeah. And if it was vice versa, I would need to take the lead in the contact and take responsibility and dealing directly with the mom or the dad about the behavior. And so, you know, it's even if your spouse doesn't agree with you on the conflict or how it should be handled,
he has to be there with you.
He's got to have your back. She's got to have your back. You know,
he or she has to have your back.
He's in the marital relationship with you, not his parents. And he needs to stand by you. She's in the marital relationship with you, not your parents. And you need to stand by her. And this could mean firmly speaking up when his mom says something hurtful and not giving into tactics that either parent can use to manipulate the situation, like guilt or pleasure, and vice versa. Her speaking up when the dad or the mom says something that's hurtful and not giving in to the tactics of either parent when they try to manipulate the situation by using guilt or pressure. And so, you know, you just got to be clear. You got to be
game
clear.
Face on when stuff like this happens.
Yeah. You got to be clear when something is done or said that hurts you or your children, because, you know, when it hurts you or your children, it's going to hurt him as well. It's going to hurt her as well. It's important to remember that you are a team, and this is a major part of maintaining your team front. So communicate those boundaries. Ask them to change the behavior, enforcing your boundaries. And you got to establish those boundaries early, because a lot of couples won't draw their boundaries until they have to. And you can avoid a great deal of heartache and disappointment and distress by letting your limits be known, you know, up front and early. Yeah. Yeah. So
lay down the line early and life will be a whole lot smoother.
Yeah. This is actually another show. Like, we could probably do a 2 or 3 part, but we're not. But we just wanted to talk about it because I was just speaking with someone and they're having some issues with their in-laws. And so I thought, you know, we were supposed to be having guests on the show, but our guest, one had a death in the family and the other had some other personal issues. And so we thought, well, you know, what can we talk about this week? And that situation came up with the person that's having some problems with the in-laws and just trying to give them some guidance and some tips and some strategies and to deal with the situation, because some people can end up in divorce.
Yes.
Because, you know, that mother is just that wife
whatever
says,
whatever parent it is,
that wife is just like, I don't plan to live the rest of my life like this. You know, I married you, you know, I didn't marry her too, or vice versa. So, you know, having in-laws can be a great thing. It's supposed to be a great thing.
It should be a great thing.
You're gaining sisters, you're gaining brothers, you're gaining parents. And most importantly, you know, I've always wanted to make sure that my sons' wives, you know that they're loved, that they're part of this family. Because when I close my eyes and leave this place, leave this earth, I want to, you know, have a smile on my face and in my heart, knowing that my son is married to women. My sons are married to women that love them dearly and that they have families that are accepting of them and that love them dearly, and that somebody's going to be here to comfort them and look after them and my grandchildren when God calls me on to my earthly home, my heavenly home, rather.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So good show.
Yes. Very good show.
Good show. Good show. Well, I tell you what, I enjoyed that. I hope you did. And we want you to tune in after we're done here. There's some announcements on how you can follow us on social media. We love to hear from you guys. Thanks to everybody who's listening. We still want to be in that top three. So share. Yeah, tell your friends. And let everybody know about Marriage and More with Sterling and Soretta. And as we always like to end with our marriage mantra. And it goes a little something like this.
The more you put into your marriage,
the more you're going to get out of your marriage. Until next time.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.